Hi, and welcome to the Theme Park Trader Podcast with your hosts, Ryan and Dan.
Hello.
This week, we are talking about three of the things that we love about Epcot and three of the things that we don't like about Epcot. And this is hot off the news, hot off the press, after the Epcot expansion plan was revealed in a little bit more detail last week. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the podcast.
Each of us has a dream, a heart's desire. It calls to us. And when we're brave enough to listen and bold enough to pursue, that dream will lead us on a journey to discover who we're meant to be. All we have to do is look inside our hearts and unlock the magic.
Stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
So we should say that if you want to know more about the expansion plans of Epcot, then you can go visit our YouTube page.
Ooh, brand new Newy Newness.
Brand new Newy Newness. Randy Newness.
Randy Newness, yeah.
If you,
that's Ryan's acronym online.
Randy Newness.
What's it? Not acronym,
Randy?
Is it? It's alternate personality.
Hi, I'm Randy Newness.
Randy Newness doesn't talk like that.
Well, how does he talk?
Like the first one you said. From Family Guy.
I don't know if I can do the whole voice like that. It's quite difficult. Hi, I'm Randy Newness.
Yeah, there is.
Randy?
That's Randy.
That's Randy. go to YouTube, search for Theme Park Trader, and we're aiming to do a weekly live show now that's not like the podcast, because in the live show, all we're going to be doing is talking about the latest goings-on in the theme park world, so the news, that kind of thing, whereas the podcast, we'd like to be timeless.
I just have to laugh at that.
Why?
I don't know, it was a bit weird the way you said it.
Timeless.
I think it was the face as well. People won't get that over.
This is why we're on YouTube now. Yeah. You see, people can see my reaction to everything. But yeah, so the weekly video is going to be based on recent goings on. It's a bit more up to date, and the podcast is still going to be going, but it will be on random subjects and things like this, like the poor reviews, all that kind of stuff. So there's a very clear difference between the two. Therefore, you should listen to this and watch that every week. We'll give you two lovely hours of content. You know what that's more than? Game of Thrones. In fact,
I mean, technically Game of Thrones isn't on at the moment. So.
Doesn't matter. In fact, it's more than any big production TV show gives you on a weekly basis.
On a weekly basis.
2 hours of deliciousness.
I don't know. I've Midsummer Murders. They've gone for like 2 hours.
Do they?
Yeah.
I mean, do they still make them?
I don't know.
I was going to do the theme to you then, but I realised in my head it was going to be Harry Potter.
What, Midsummer Murders?
Mm. I was literally going, doo, 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 doo. That's not the Midsummer Murders tune.
I think it should be.
Shouldn't
yeah.
it? I still don't understand how anyone can live there.
Oh, well, Midsummer, yeah, I imagine they're all dead by now, aren't they?
Yeah, like I'm just moving in.
Where are you moving to? Oh, Midsummer. Okay. Nice knowing you.
Yeah, it's been, in 15 years, 450 people have died in that town.
And weirdly, the only one left is the police officer.
Yeah. Maybe they just keep making up scenarios because he's like got dementia and they're just trying to give him some business.
They should just spin that out. They should just, last episode, just be like, he was the killer all along.
I mean, it's a given, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a given. So yeah, there's a reason to listen to this and go and watch our YouTube videos. In that as well, we're also taking questions. So if you go and watch it live on Facebook, then you have the chance to ask us a question. We'll communicate times and things in advance so that you know when we're going live. And we'll try and get a right mix of UK times and US times. We went live at like 10 o'clock UK time.
Yeah.
Which is like 5 o'clock on the
East Coast.
East Coast.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you live in the West Coast, sorry. But
what day was it? It was Friday. Wasn't it? Oh, okay, yeah. So it was like mid-afternoon, like, West Coast time.
We can't stay up till like 3. Well, we could. It's not going to.
But then it wouldn't be practical for the UK time.
Exactly. So. We've got to find something that works for everyone, which is why now we're on YouTube. So if you've missed it, you can watch it there. There's a few teething issues, such as my camera. But the fact I didn't do the agenda properly. So I was typing and trying to talk, which is not an easy thing to do. Well, I didn't do it, so.
Yeah, I was surprised that the camera on the MacBook wasn't amazing quality.
Yeah, because the light
I think the lighting didn't help, did it?
No. So I don't know, we'll try and find a solution to that within the next year.
Gives ourselves a wide.
Yeah, because if we do it in less than a year, then it's bonus, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nice little bonus.
True. Can we just say 10 years then in that case?
Yeah.
We're going to do really well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a week and here we are. Yeah. We spoil you.
Smashed our deadline.
That's what you want to do.
Yeah.
So, with that in mind, we were talking about Epcot a lot on the live show last week, and I wanted to talk about it some more. So, we thought
why does that surprise me? Why does that not surprise me?
We thought we'd do the top three things that make us happy about Epcot and three things that make us unhappy. And this may well be a new feature that we pass over to other parks, but I thought I'd start with Epcot because obviously it's the best park.
And it's in the news.
And it's in the news, yeah. And if you disagree, you're wrong. Well, no, you're not, but you are. So my first thing that I love about Epcot is, oh my god, there's a ladybird on the blinds.
Seriously?
Yeah, that's what was making that noise.
How big is this ladybird?
Like,
or is it ladybird or ladybug?
Does it not depend on where you're from?
Probably.
I like ladybird. Yes, my first thing is the Epcot Food and Wine Festival.
Shock horror.
That's one of the things that I like / love about Epcot. And the reason for that is about 30-fold, depending on the year.
So the number of pavilions, I'm assuming.
Number of stops. Okay. Not pavilions. Okay.
Not pavilions. No, that's... Yeah.
Oof.
My bad.
Careful. You could have Diz Twitter after you if you keep going on like that.
30 pavilions, they announced that. That'd be good.
That'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's the Food and Wine Festival, and it's not because I can go and get absolutely wrecked around the world. And it's acceptable, although that does sometimes happen. I really like the atmosphere that the festival brings to Epcot, not on weekends, I should add. Like, weekends is an absolute nightmare. But during the week, if you're over there, you're popping in on, say, a Tuesday afternoon. Oof, it's lovely.
Did we ever go on a weekend?
No, we didn't. No. I purposely avoided the Food and Wine Festival at the weekend. But, going during the week, I think is the best experience. But it's just lovely to be able to try things that you haven't tried before from different cultures. I think it brings a really, you know, on paper, we know that there's issues with the festival every year, but on paper, it's a really, really good thing to have available to you loads of different dishes from around the world. Sometimes I don't think that they experiment enough.
Right, okay.
And that leads into one of my least favourite things. I'm going to talk about them because they kind of bounce off each other.
Right.
Which is that I don't think the festival experiments enough. You know, you go to... I don't... You go, what is happening? Is someone doing naughty things?
No, I think your hostage is trying to break out.
Not again.
Scratching through the walls.
The thing is, I don't think they necessarily experiment enough with the food and beverages that they have. What they tend to do is, I can't remember the best place to explain this. It might well be, I don't know, the booze that they have available is often ones that you can buy in supermarkets.
Right, okay.
Not always. There are ones that aren't. But if I see something in a festival booth that I can buy here in the UK, then I'll avoid it.
Yeah.
Because I think Belgium, I think, says Stella.
Oh, okay. that's fairly common.
Who is doing like building work at 8:51 on a Sunday morning?
It sounds like something scraping against the wall.
It does, doesn't it? Oh well, what can you do? What can you do?
Tighten the restraints. That's what you can do.
Get next time. I need to just put the right, do the right ropes tighter.
Yeah, come on.
I mean, this is what happens.
It's a rookie mistake.
We need a proper recording studio, don't we? Not my lounge. But yes, I think, you know, I think it was Belgium. I think, because I think Stella is originally from Belgium. Stella, toi.
Yeah, that sounds right. Because I always think it's French, but it's not French.
No, it's not.
Because it, obviously they speak French in
they Belgium. Do. They do. So. Well, parts of Belgium do, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the thing, right? You don't, for me, I don't particularly want to go to Belgium and be like, yes, I'll pay $9 for half a pint of Stella.
Which you can get for like a couple of quid can.
Yeah, Tesco, yeah, maybe. Yeah, and it's not a good beer as well. So I think that's the one of the negatives for me for Epcot is that the festivals, and that's not just the Food and Wine Festival, the Flower and Garden Festival as well, but especially the Food and Wine because of the countries it's supposed to represent. I think they could start experimenting a little bit more. And it's tricky because if you experiment too much, you get people like Dan that won't try things. So,
yes, indeed.
Exactly. But I think maybe one of the three on either the drink and the food options should really be, okay, this is absolutely a classic dish that is like a delicacy in the country that it's from. Mm-hmm. It's quite uncommon. So let's put it on the menu and the same with the drink.
Yeah. People will buy it.
I would buy it to try it.
Yeah, people definitely would.
There's a slogan right there.
Buy it to try it.
Buy it to try it. So that's that's more on the negative side. But the positive side is, yeah, I love walking around Epcot during the festival center, during the festival, and love trying all of the different foods and alcoholic beverages.
Classed that way up, didn't you?
I did, no. Excuse me, yes, I'd like your finest beverage.
Here's a Stella.
I'm gonna say it like that moving forwards. sir, what beverage would you like? I think your finest pronounced beverage.
You can barely say it now. Good luck saying it when your future is in.
Yeah, can I have a... but beverage, please. But yeah, I love the festival. I think it's probably my favourite event at Walt Disney World. I guess it's an event. I think it's my favourite event at Walt Disney World. And love going back every year. We always make sure that we go back. It's not necessarily for Halloween, it's more for the festival.
Right, okay.
It's just we go kind of October, November time because of Halloween. And the festival is on.
Yeah.
So you could go late August.
Yeah, I was going to say, what time does the festival start?
Yeah.
I mean, soon you'll be able to do Halloween and Food and Wine in late August.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
It's going to happen at some point.
Well, it does now.
Late August, is it?
What, the festival?
No, the...
Halloween. Yeah. The first party date is late August.
Wow, okay. I thought it was like mid-September.
No. Okay. It's definitely mid-August. I'm going to find the exact date because I think it's worth laughing at it.
Just 5 minutes of constant laughing.
I think it will be. Let's have a look, shall we? It is August the 16th. First date for
that
this year.
A lot earlier than I thought it was.
Like summer, do you? Well, you're gonna love Halloween.
That's mental.
I know, right?
That's 2.5 months.
Yeah.
From when Halloween actually is.
Yeah, it's insane, isn't it?
It's almost a third of the year.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Not a third, sorry, a quarter of the year.
It is. It is nuts, yeah. It's basically half of August and all of September, October.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Food and Wine Festival, if you've never been, then, I mean, just go. Just go.
Just do it.
You don't have to like alcohol to go and join a festival. Dan doesn't drink. And it was your first festival, wasn't it, last year?
Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, you really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did.
You know, you're not that experimental with food. I think that's been nice.
I don't know what you're saying, Ryan.
But you did try a few different dishes and things. Belgium was your favourite as well as mine, I think.
I'm trying to think.
The waffle and the
Was really good.
Was it beef stew you had there?
I can't remember where I had the beef. I was planning on having
you
the beef.
You did. I think it was a beef of mash or something like that.
The French French bouillon with the beef. Was really nice. Like French beef.
French beef.
But I can't remember if I tried the Belgian beef or not.
I think that you did. I actually do. I know that you did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember you eating it
distinctively.
As I was rocking back and forward on my chilled Godiva coffees.
I was a state. But yeah, the waffles are really nice.
Yeah, I love Belgium because of the chilled Godiva coffee.
Yeah.
The year before last, they didn't have them, and I went crazy. The Belgium stand, well, it wasn't standing by the time I was finished with it. What is it, coffee? It's for coffee!
You all remember the news stories, people.
Yeah. They didn't report on it because I did so much damage.
Oh, I see.
Not just to the Belgian stand, but to the hearts of Belgian people everywhere
throughout the world.
But yeah,
I think I tried the coffee, didn't I?
I think you quite liked it.
It was alright. I preferred the
Guinness shake.
The Guinness shake, that was nice because it had a little bit of a thickness to it.
Yeah, you have a bit of thickness.
Yeah.
Well, this is bad because I think we don't usually we record theme park trade after the customer is always weird.
Yeah.
So we're still a bit like let's. And this time, I think we're gearing up for it, which is just as bad.
Yeah, because we should say we're recording that afterwards, aren't we, now?
Yes, yeah.
So there's probably going to be a doorbell ring at some point with Stu coming through the door.
Stu coming through the door with some monsters. He didn't want a guest on the show.
It's rude.
I mean, we offered it to him.
We did. He just turned us down.
He decided to have a lion instead.
Yeah.
So yeah, go and do the Food and Wine Festival. It's amazing. Even you don't have to drink. It's not a... They do some really, really cool... non-alcoholic beverage that you can go and try. Yeah. I totally forgot about it and I was like, I'm just going to say this now. So yeah, there's lots of non-alcoholic options to try around the world as well. And every year the festival gets bigger and better. So definitely do it. But yeah, one thing to be wary of is that they're not that experimental. And also the crowds, especially on weekends, are absolutely horrendous. And you'll be queuing in China for about 20 minutes to get something.
Yeah, the queue in China was mental, wasn't it?
Mm.
Really was.
I was about to do an impression and realise which podcast that was on. So I decided against it.
Smart move.
So that's one of my kind of love best things and worst things kind of mixed into one. So what about you? What about you?
I will probably start by saying one of my favourite things is Soarin'.
We're soaring.
And
flying.
Flight attendant Patrick.
Nice work, pal.
Yeah. I mean, he's got to be a highlight, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they got rid of Figment, let's hope they never do.
Well, all the merchandise should be flight attendant Patrick.
Why is there no flight attendant Patrick pins?
That's very true. That is very true.
And why can you not buy his outfit in mouse gear? Or like a little like kind of Ken doll. So just you press the button and he goes, nice work, pal.
That would be amazing.
Oh, yeah.
They would definitely sell loads of those.
They would. Disney, that idea is free. Like, go and make flight attendant Patrick dolls.
Yeah.
Because we're all buying one.
I mean, even the pins would be easy enough, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Just to come out with one of those.
Maybe Patrick Warburton didn't sign off on using his likeness for merchandise.
Maybe, but you think they'd be able to get him, wouldn't you?
You would think so.
Yeah. He's not doing a huge amount otherwise.
Well, he was in... series of unfortunate events.
Was he?
On Netflix.
Oh, okay. I've never seen that.
It's good.
Yeah, I do mean to watch it at some point.
With fellow theme parks fan, Barney.
Yeah, what's his name? Something Patrick Harris, isn't it?
Yes.
Whatever his first name is. Neil.
Neil Patrick Harris, yeah. Yes. I couldn't remember his name. But he's a huge theme parks fan.
Mm.
He goes back to Epcot every single... Dave. Year to do the candlelight processional.
Yes. Yeah,
every year he's there because him and his family absolutely love theme parks and especially Epcot, I believe. So sorry, yeah.
No,
Soarin'.
So, yeah, I mean Soarin'. Soarin' was and still is like one of my favourite rides in Disney World.
Mm.
And you know before Flight of Passage came out, it's still incredible. I still love the ride. Flight of Passage is like Soarin' on steroids, basically.
It is, yeah.
Soarin' is like the original, it's like amazing.
It's the OG.
Granted, you can get like dodgy seats sometimes, but I think the experience and the smells and you know the effect it creates is just incredible.
Yeah, so I completely agree. I think it's a great ride. I think people now undervalue Soarin'.
Yeah, what, because of Flight of Passage?
Yeah, and, yeah. and I still think Soarin' is an absolutely fantastic experience. And, you know, I care more about this world than I do of Blue Aliens.
Yeah.
I'll be honest.
Yeah, and I think, obviously now that it's got its third concourse, it's a lot more, I'll say, accessible, really, because... Before, the queues were like nuts for it, weren't they?
Yeah.
Whereas now it's a lot
more. We saw wait times of like half hour a lot of time, didn't we?
I mean, I don't know if obviously over time it's going to get slightly quieter anyway.
Yeah.
But obviously the third concourse has helped massively with that. So it's much nicer now that you can just get on it in like quite a short wait time.
Yeah, it's not absolutely essential that you get a fast pass for it.
Yeah, it used to be. It's still handy, but. It was just nuts before, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah. So, but yeah, I think that's one of my favourite things about Epcot.
What about one of your least favourite?
one of my least favourite. I suppose I'll be cheeky and I'll pinch off the changes that have been made and say the entrance, really.
Mm.
Because the entrance, it's a bit grim, isn't it, really? As you're walking through there,
bad.
They're kind of like, obviously they're nicknamed the tombstones, aren't they?
Yeah.
And you think... They are really like tombstone-like, and they're all grey and monolithic. And
yeah, they don't look good.
No, but the changes there they announce are brilliant to the entrance. It really puts a bit of life into it, doesn't it? When you've got the big spaceship right in front of you.
It looks beautiful, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Hopefully the concept art they'll do justice to this time. But I think, I think that's a really valid thing. You kind of like... When I walk in... I kind of have like tunnel vision to Spaceship Earth and ignore them.
Yeah.
But I think if you're walking in that park for the first time and you really do it slowly and taking your surroundings, it looks awful. Like that whole tombstone area looks terrible. So yeah, I think for them to come in and say, "Yep, we're changing this."
Yeah.
It's a great move.
Yeah, for them to acknowledge that, you know, it doesn't look great. We're gonna liven it up a bit.
Yeah.
it's a massive bonus. So I think, yeah, that's, for me, that's like a downside for it. Not the changes, but
the current way it is at the moment.
I think the new one's going to breathe a lot of life into it.
I think
it'll be really nice.
In more ways than one, with it being actual plant life.
Actual plant life. Well, it should be actual plant life.
It should be. Take it from living with the land.
Yeah, exactly.
So the next to the thing that I love about Epcot is Figment. And... I'm not talking about the attraction, because that's related to my... But Figment, the character, is something that I absolutely adore about Epcot. I have done since I was... I think the first trip I have some memory of is when I was 3 years old. And obviously Figment was around then. Figment's been around since before I was born as well, like 10 years before I was born. Or a few years before I was born. And I just think he's a great character on paper.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I love the merchandise that they produce with Figment every year. I think last year's Food and Wine Festival, Figment featured heavily, and it's great. I really enjoyed it. I think they moved Remy away from it this year, which I think is great. Because, yes, I think he makes a lot of sense to link into a Food and Wine Festival.
Yeah.
But actually, Figment is what I would consider, and hopefully still Disney considers, the icon of Epcot. And I think to link him into merchandise, and people are still buying Figment merchandise.
Oh, definitely.
In their thousands. Mm. Now, the interesting thing is that obviously we're in our theme park community bubble. What other people think of Figment, who are going for the first time and seeing this purple dragon on a t-shirt or on a mug, they're like, who the hell is that?
Yeah.
Now that's the interesting side of it. But I think the positive for me is that I think he's a great character. The negative, the worst thing about Epcot for me is that he's massively underutilized outside of merchandise.
Yeah.
I think there's an opportunity, and I've talked about it a couple of times on different podcasts, now that there's a massive opportunity to get rid of the Wreck-It Ralph meet and greet that they just opened in the Imagination Pavilion and put Dreamfinder and Figment there as a meet and greet with like half animatronic, half kind of like hand puppet with the Dreamfinder. I mean, I just don't understand why that's not there. There would be queues out the door to meet Figment now. And with the animatronic technology that they've got, there is no reason why Disney have not done this.
Yeah.
I don't understand why Ralph and the annoying little brat from Wreck-It Ralph. Is it Vanellope?
I can't remember.
something like that. I mean, Sarah Silverman's got quite an irritating voice, isn't she? That's not, I mean, maybe it's not fair. I do actually quite like that character, but I think when I'm talking about Figment, I get quite angry about anyone that's in the Imagination Pavilion. And his ride right now is not good. It's worse than not good. It's terrible.
Yeah.
And I think that's the worst thing about Epcot. One of the worst things about Epcot for me is the massive misuse and mistreatment of one of my favourite Disney characters.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand what Epcot are trying to do with Figment.
I don't think they do.
But yeah, because on the one hand, they, you know, we saw it when we were out there in October. There's so much Figment merchandise,
yeah,
especially around food and wine. And on the other hand, they have a really poor ride and no meet and greet, as you were saying, and things like that. And you think, how can you push the merchandise but not really represent the character very well?
Yeah.
Considering he's not a character that's known, because he was created for the park, you know, as you say, people coming in for the first time won't necessarily know who he is. And then they go on the ride and they get a really poor experience.
Yeah.
They're not going to buy the merchandise.
Nope.
Because they won't care about the character. So they need to have both sides of it in order to really push the character. And you think, I don't understand why they haven't announced anything. Like, maybe they will. Maybe they will in time for, like, 2021 or something like that. Mm. They announced some kind of change to the ride. But, I just don't understand why they haven't done it earlier, really.
I think that's the best thing they could do, is go, okay, we're building this new play pavilion, we're building this new entrance, we've got Guardians on the way, we've got the Ratatouille attraction on the way,
mm-hmm.
and yes, we're finally gutting and starting again on the Figment ride. I think that would be incredible.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see whether he's in the new show as well.
Yeah.
Where he takes, like, front and centre.
I would suggest to Epcot that they make him the Jiminy Cricket of that show.
Yeah. And they could easily do that, but I think at the same time, again, they'll need to change the ride.
Yeah.
To really
push if the they did, I think it would make the inclusion of characters a bit less of a punch in the gut to classic Epcot fans.
No, that makes complete sense.
So let's hope they do that. So that's my next one. What about you? My next two, I should say.
What good thing?
Yeah.
I'm probably going to go with... I'm going to go with a restaurant and say Electric Umbrella.
Okay.
Yeah. Because, for one thing, it's always great food there.
Yeah, it's a good quick service location.
Good quick service. I was going to say quid. I don't know what I was saying there. And just the atmosphere, when you sit outside, it's just lovely because you can take in the fountain, you can take in the surroundings. Not many people sit outside, I find.
Because it's too hot a lot of the time.
Maybe. But you got a good shade.
We sat out there a couple of times with the Starbucks, didn't we?
Yeah, we did, yeah. And it was always quite quiet. You know, you got a nice break, nice sit down.
Mm.
As I said, it's a great atmosphere there. Because you're right in the centre of the park pretty much, aren't you? And I think for me, it's one of my favourite quick service locations in Disney World, I think. Just because, the combination of the food that they have to offer and the atmosphere is lovely.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Not much more to say about it, really.
No, it's a good quick service location. I think the outside seating area is great. I still find myself sitting inside when it's too hot. But the honest thing is, I haven't been to that location in years to actually have a meal.
Yeah.
Because of the Food and Wine Festival.
Of course, yeah.
And I think, although I'm gutted that the Food and Wine Festival is likely going to end at the end of our second week in Don and I's honeymoon,
mm-hmm.
I am looking forward to going to Epcot and either eating at Electric Umbrella or Sunshine Seasons.
Right, okay.
Which is in the Land Pavilion.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever eaten at Sunshine Seasons.
Great, and I'll tell you what they do a lovely slice of key lime pie.
So now we know where you will be eating.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's possible that I'll just go to the Electric Umbrella to get my food and then go to the land to get my key lime from Sunshine Seasons.
Nice.
I do a good slice there.
A good slice.
And what about one of your worst things about Epcot?
I'm trying to think of another worst thing. It's difficult.
It's such a great park.
It is such a great park.
And we literally pressed record as soon as you walked into the room. And I was like, we're doing this week.
Yeah, we're coming up with three good things and three bad things.
Record. That's pretty much how we prepare for this show.
I mean, do you want to think?
I can do my. I can
you,
do.
You go on to something else now. I'll put my thinking.
I mean, technically, we've done three good things and two bad things already.
Right. Okay.
If you combine what me and you've said,
them. Right. Yeah.
So you don't feel pressured too much. But do it. No, I'm joking. So my last thing. Actually, I'm going to have to do two.
I was going to say, your good things.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I couldn't leave this one out, but I also couldn't leave this other one out.
I think I know what both of them are going to be.
Okay. Right, I'll give you the chance to guess them.
Le Cellier.
Might be one of them.
And Illuminations.
No. Oh. Illuminations is... So Illuminations is a show that I absolutely love, and I do get really emotional every time that I watch it.
Yeah.
And we had a great viewing experience for certainly my last time. In October, because we had the Fast Pass.
Yes, because we saw it twice.
Yeah, we did. Yeah,
and the first one wasn't great. The viewing experience wasn't great.
It was terrible. We had someone in front of us and it was awful.
Yeah.
But the last time when we had that Fast Pass, it was a perfect view, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I do love Illuminations, but I kind of took it off the list because I'm trying to come to terms with its departure.
Oh, okay. You're grieving. I'm in that stage. You're in acceptance.
I'm kind of having to deal with it. But my other one is Spaceship Earth.
Right, okay.
And the reason it's on there is because it's like the centre point of the park. I think you can see it from miles away.
Mm-hmm.
It's, from a kid, I remember walking into that park and going, oh my God, what is that? That is amazing. And I think it's lost its way a little bit in recent years. It's looking a bit dated.
Yeah.
But it's still a great ride. And I love the animatronics on there. I hope the rumours of it closing and for a huge refurb are true. As long as they don't add Disney characters to the history.
It would be a bit weird if they did that. Unless, you know, if they fundamentally change the ride, then fine. If they keep it as it is, they shouldn't add...
No, I hope they just add a few more scenes, do a proper refurb. Yeah. New ride vehicles are needed.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do love... I really love, really, really love Spaceship Earth. And I hope I continue to love it for the very, very long future. So that's one of mine because it still blows me away more than Cinderella Castle does.
Right, okay.
When I walk into a park, I don't really, you know, Main Street's amazing,
mm-hmm.
but I don't look up to the castle and go, oh my God, I'm home! I walk into Epcot and see Spaceship Earth and go, oh my God, oh, I love it so much. And that's the difference, right? I know a lot of people that love... I love the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
And I love Cinderella Castle. But I think the one that makes me realise that actually I'm back in Disney World is walking into Epcot. And Spaceship Earth is a big part of that. You know, what? And I don't go and ride it straight away. It's always an afternoon thing because it's never busy.
Really, right, well, yeah. Because
half hour at most, really.
Yeah, because a lot of people do go on it straight away, don't they?
Yeah.
Which is probably the people that haven't been there before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I always wait and save it for the afternoon, but still walking past it every time, it's like, oh my God, this thing is just an incredible bit of engineering.
Mm.
And then I always cheat and have an extra thing, but I couldn't leave it off the list, and that is Le Cellier. Because, I mean, everyone knew at home, at some point, this was coming up, right?
I mean, I'm partly surprised it wasn't even the first thing, to be fair.
Yeah. It was up there. Oh, they're at it again. Oh, what? Who is doing work at 9:15 on a Sunday?
It's very strange. It definitely sounds like some kind of sawing now, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Before it sounded like somebody scratching against the walls.
Yeah.
But now it's that was sawing. Not sawing.
Not sawing. Soaring. So yeah, Le Cellier is by far my favourite restaurant in Walt Disney World so far that I've been to. Who knows? The Yachtsman Steakhouse could take that trophy.
Cool.
Can you imagine?
That'd be... a sad day.
There'd be a hard filet mignon to swallow, wouldn't it? But I don't think it will because
I mean, to be fair, if you had a hard filet, it's probably not going to beat Le Cellier.
No, it's twice. I think part of the reason why Le Cellier is so high up on the list is because it's such a great restaurant, but also it's in Epcot.
Okay.
Yachtsman Steakhouse is very close to Epcot, but it's not in Epcot. So that's one point away.
Yeah. You're going to have like a chart, aren't you? As you walk into the Yachtsman, it's like... Pretty far from Epcot. Oh, that's a bad...
Sir, we're only five... I don't need you talking to me.
Don't give me that. That's... And then you just start writing down in your notepad.
Cast member Jeff. But we're only 5 minutes away. Jeff.
Please.
Tell me, Jeff, where is Lucellia? Tell me, Jeff, where is it? It's in Epcot, Jeff. I'll finish that for you.
You throw your pen at him.
So, do you want your pen? I've got another one. Put it out of my pocket.
It's an Epcot pen.
Yes. I don't see you selling Yachtsman Steakhouse pens. Huh? Do you have that?
No, sir.
No. We do have this Yachtsman. I don't care about your notepad.
Bring me steak.
Yes, this looks okay. For one credit, but you're charging me two. Lucellia charges. Don't talk to me about Lucellia. So I had to include Lucellia and also that bread.
Yeah, the pretzel bread is amazing.
If there's any food that has driven me close to having some kind of orgasmic state, into some kind of orgasmic state.
I knew you were going to go to some sort of sexual experience there.
I think it's that bread, the pretzel bread.
Yeah, pretzel bread is very good.
It is, isn't it?
It is really good. I mean, we asked for more pretzel bread and they brought us like three sticks of it or something.
Yeah.
Even after the two that we originally had.
Do you remember, was it the first, I think it was the second meal we had, because we ate there twice in October.
Yeah, yeah.
The server never came back after taking our taking our bread. Yeah. So the other guy brought the steaks out and I was like, I want more bread. And then I finished my steak and the server was like, do you want to order dessert? And then we ordered our dessert and I ordered more bread. So we got our pretzel bread literally like a minute before our dessert.
The desserts came up.
And I was just like, nom, 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 nom. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's basically like he was like a goose just shoving the whole pretzel bread down whole.
Yeah. Oh, it was amazing. And then my last thing that I dislike about Epcot is just that it's the huge disconnect in Future World right now. I mean, it doesn't feel like Future World. I hope that the changes that are coming to that area of the park will change that. But the play area looks a bit... But we'll see. So that's the other thing about Epcot that I dislike, as I think Future World is very quickly becoming Tomorrowland.
Right, okay.
In that it looks like someone's idea of the future in the 80s.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. I think... The same goes for Tomorrowland. Recently, obviously, they're breathing a bit more life into it with the Tron ride and things like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know why they're having so much trouble getting, like, the latest rides or latest tech and things like that into these parks. Because they're meant to be, like, Tomorrowland, Future World, all that sort of stuff. You think, why can't they...
I mean, if I was Disney, I would save $20,000 a year. That's nothing to Disney.
Yeah.
And in Inventions, I would put in the latest tech.
Yeah.
But right now, have the VR headsets in there for people to have a play on. You know, have whatever it is, whatever's the latest gadget in the home, just have it in there for people to play with and have a, you know, that's Epcot for me. That's what it should be.
And you wouldn't think it would be that difficult to do, because you'd think they could create a space where they can do these things and easily chop and change it out.
Well, all they would need to do is create, say, three different areas. You'd have a kitchen space where you've got all your kitchen gadgets and cool stuff. You'd have your lounge space with different TVs and some of the gadgets that go on in that area. And that's, you know, those kind of things. And then they wouldn't need to change the kitchen space for 10 years, let's say.
Yeah.
But they'd just need to swap out the gadgets, swap out the TVs, you know, that kind of thing.
And you'd think it would be relatively easy to get for them to get sponsorships behind that, because the companies that create these products are going to want to be in the park and promoting the products.
Yeah.
Obviously, you wouldn't want to force it down their throat, that, you know, of trying to sell.
Yeah.
But if they just kind of stepped back from the selling and just sold, essentially just selling the product, not selling, physically selling it, if you know what I mean, then, you know, that would be a good way of doing it.
But also, like, these parks, and we were talking about in Disney After Dark last week, these parks make billions in profit every year.
Yeah.
There is no excuse other than for Disney and the shareholders' greed not to continually update Future World with futuristic technology. Yeah. There is no excuse. This park is making a lot of profit for Disney, as are the other parks. So that's the thing for me, is that they just need to future the shizzle out of Future World.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you have to add to the Epcot discussion today?
I think there's kind of, I guess one thing that kind of touches on that is the, well, partly because of Test Track, partly because of Spaceship Earth, is the post-ride experiences in Epcot.
Yeah.
They're not great. The Spaceship Earth one is
terrible.
It's just terrible, which kind of goes back to the tech thing. You know, something needs to be updated there, or they just need to scrap it.
Yeah.
Personally, I would just scrap it, because you think...
Put Spaceship Earth shopping.
Yeah,
oh, man.
Put something in there that isn't just these really crap experiences.
Judi Dench dolls. Just pull on the string.
Judi Dench.
Thank the Phoenicians.
There's so many catchphrases you could use for that. But you just get your Judi Dench doll and your flight attendant Patrick doll.
Hi, I'm Chief Flight Attendant Patrick.
Next world pal. But yeah, something like that just improves them. Same goes for Test Track.
Yeah.
Test Track, at the end of Test Track, they just have like, is it Chevrolet?
Yeah.
They have the cars there and they're...
You can buy them as well.
Yeah, you can buy them and there's a salesman there.
It's just like, oh yeah, I'm just dropping $50,000 on a Chevrolet today.
Yeah. It's like, it's such a bizarre place. It goes back to, you know, I was saying that you can get sponsorships for these things, but don't try and sell the product.
Yeah.
You know, have them there. Have the really nice cars there.
Yeah.
And, that people can sit in and try, and not try, because, you know, that could be fun. But, you know, have them there. Have them, people be able to go in them and things like that. But don't try and sell the product at the same time.
Yeah.
Because that kind of just spoils it a little bit.
It does,
really.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, it's just that sort of thing. They need to improve or remove the post-ride experiences that they currently have.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Apart from the Grand Fiesta Tour, which is absolutely brilliant.
I'm trying to think of...
Walk out of that, straight into the Mexican Pavilion, with all the street vendors and things.
Yeah, but that's not a post-ride thing, is it?
Well, what would you call it?
It's just the pavilion.
It's a lovely post-ride experience.
That's like saying the post-ride experience of Spaceship Earth is Epcot.
Well, no, because it's not, is it? It's that shop that you... Well, it's that whatever they call it.
Yeah, I don't know what they would call it.
I always forget because I don't care about it.
Yeah, I can never remember what the name of it is.
And you see your really badly taken photo flying to usually the ocean.
Yeah, usually the ocean. And usually, like, well, sometimes half your face is missing because the face detection isn't quite...
You go all Phantom of the Opera on it. Because what happens is, because we live right on the south coast of England,
yeah.
It's either... You're either in... we either get it bang on or you're about 18 miles into the sea.
Yeah.
And it's never right, and you just see our faces flying to the middle of the ocean.
Yeah, you can't zoom in on those screens, can you?
No,
it's like, although I think, does it go into a certain? It does go into a certain.
Zooms
screen,
in a little bit itself, but yeah. But it's still such a wide area, and I've got such big fingers, like I end up just in the sea every time.
Ryan with his sausage fingers trying to pinpoint on the map.
Your fingers are too fat to dial. Your fingers are too sausagey to...
I just imagine you going around in like that, in the outfit that the fat Homer is wearing.
Oh yeah, I'm not that fat. What does he wear? I can't remember what it's called.
It's like a flowery dress thing, isn't it?
I can't remember what it's called though. Yeah.
Does it have a specific name?
It does have a specific name, yeah.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Okay.
So I think on that note, thank you very much for listening to today's show.
I'm going
to
get down to shops to buy his whatever it's called.
I'm going to find out before we go. Actually, let's find out what it's called.
Okay.
Homer's dress called. This is never going to give what we need.
No,
is it?
It's really not.
Mamu.
Mamu. Okay.
Mamu. Yeah.
Is it Mamu or Mumu?
Mumu, maybe. There it is. It is a Hawaiian dress, actually.
Oh, is it? Okay.
It is a Hawaiian dress.
After his weight gain.
£300, he gets put on disability. Classic. Great episode, that.
I mean, that's a strong chair he's got there. It's a very strong chair.
That's so good. So, thank you very much for listening. If you've enjoyed today's show, please go and visit us on our website, themeparktrader.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. YouTube now, our username is Theme Park Trader. Please go and subscribe to us on YouTube. And also, if you haven't done so already, go and subscribe to us on iTunes. Just search for Theme Park Trader. You'll see the podcast. Hit subscribe and leave us a lovely review as well.
Are we going to put any other videos on YouTube?
Maybe. Well, we don't have any really that are landscape.
No, we don't have any at the moment, do we?
But we might do once you record some in Florida.
Once I sort it out.
I'll record some as well.
I'll try and record some stuff.
I'm going to Paris next month.
True, yes, you are.
So I may be able to get some YouTube content there. But the thing is, because it's on a phone, it's never that great.
Quality on the phone's quite good.
But I'm quite a shaky person.
Oh.
So I'll be like, oh! Like, oh, he's on a roller coaster. Nope, he's just walking.
He's just walking through Epcot.
That'd be even shakier. Wait,
yeah, you wouldn't be in Epcot for next month, would you?
But, no. Yeah. If only. So, thanks for listening, and we will see you again next week.
Ah, there you are. And just in time, there's a little matter I forgot to mention. Beware of hitchhiking ghosts. They have selected you to fill our quota, and they'll haunt you until you return.